Each week we make up these little leaflets for you to use to follow the prayers after Mass and then the hymn, or in the case of today, the blessing of the children, that you can follow in English the beautiful prayers which Father recites in Latin at the altar. In addition, we've added of late the main or the principal parts of the Mass of the Catechumens, the Collect, the Epistle, and the Gospel. I really do wish that you would all come to church with a prayer book or a missal, especially our children, and that children would be trained always to follow Mass with their missal. It's a practical necessity for devotion. But still, if you don't or won't, at least you have the principal parts of the Mass. As I was looking at this little leaflet, all printed up and waiting on Friday, my eyes fell upon the collect. It sort of jumped off the page at me. Grant unto thy people grace to avoid all contact with the devil. It's an unusual translation of the Latin. It gets your attention. But then again, so does the devil, doesn't he? He is the adversary, Satan. He's the one who is in our face day after day. He's the one who's at the top of the page and at the end of the book. He is the one who wants to, this is another translation of the Collect, who wants to make us share in his defilements, the devil's defilements. How do we avoid this contagion? We withstand all temptation. Yet another traditional translation of the Collect of today's Mass. How do we withstand it, though? Easier, said than done. Do you remember the story of St. Anthony of Egypt? How, like Padre Pio, he was often physically attacked by demons, and how he saw one time all of the devils over all of the face of the earth, the devils in their tens of thousands waiting to drag men down to hell. Who, Lord, who shall escape? He cried out. And a voice came down from heaven. The humble shall escape. The humble. Now, after Mass, we, like our Lord in the 18th chapter of St. Matthew, whose gospel is read three times this coming week, so important is it for us, for our meditation. We call little children into our midst, and we bless them, but they, by their very presence, they bestow a blessing upon us. Unless you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The humility of a child, I think it is linked to innocence. And generally speaking, when one goes, so does the other. But how, at the last, are we adults to recover them? It's hard work. It is constant watchfulness. It is the crucifixion of the old man, contentious, self-satisfied, self-seeking, ready to sit in judgment, not of self, but of others. In a word, proud. What penance is called for, and what self-denial? One of the prayers reads, so that we may recover by penance that innocence which we have lost by sin. By sin, by actual sin, and by original sin. When you consider, every now and again you get a glimpse of it, don't you? I mean, the real state of your own soul. Maybe in comparison with a child's innocence, you could find it to be a pretty daunting situation and a discouraging prospect. But still, if we don't, non intrabitis in regnum celorum, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The devil fell through pride. And we are not going to get to heaven unless through humility. They say that the world will last as long as it takes, so that the number of the angels who fell into hell with Lucifer, so that their places be taken by souls of human beings. God means for us to take the place of the fallen angels in heaven, but we won't unless we imitate the angels in their humility. Is there any shortcut to heaven? I mean, all of this prayer and all of this penance and this constant watchfulness. Of course there's a shortcut. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, grew up at the time when they had just invented the elevator. And one day she declared, "I'm going to go to heaven, not on the stairway, but by an elevator. Is there an elevator that you could use to get to heaven?" In the goodness of our good Lord, of his merciful heart, he is constantly giving us helps. The colder men's hearts become, the scarcer faith is to be found upon the face of the earth, our Lord said, the more merciful God is. He gives us the assistance of devotions. Devotions. The word means, from the Latin, de vovere, to vow ourselves over again to the service of God. That's what a devotion is. It is not primarily the saying of a certain prayer or a certain practice which we perform. It is to serve God. But then, by means of these revealed devotions, our service of God is a superhighway, sure and swift and sweet, to take us home to heaven. The first great devotion that was revealed was that of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then her rosary, and then her scapular. And then in the 17th century, the devotion of the Sacred Heart, the 9 first Fridays. In modern times, the 5 first Saturdays. All of these carry with them the devotion to the 7 sorrows. All of these carry with them a certain promise of predestination, that your name will be written in the book of life if they are sincerely followed and practiced, such as the idea of our Lord in giving them to us. Let me tell you today about another devotion, or rather tell you about a devotion which once seemed, by sacred scripture itself, to be forbidden to Christians. And this is a good example of how the Bible must always be properly interpreted by the authority of the Catholic Church. In today's Gospel, our Lord speaks of the first great commandment. Diliges, thou shalt love. How? With all your heart, with all your mind, and with all of your soul. This is one telling of the first of the 10 commandments. Children learn by heart. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Protestants and others who follow certain heresies falsely teach that God's word forbids veneration paid to the angels or, for that matter, to the saints. But the Catechism of the Council of Trent explains to us very clearly that the veneration of angels and saints is never forbidden by Almighty God. But you do read it in the last chapters twice of the book of the Apocalypse, how John fell down to kneel and do homage, and the angel says to him, "See, thou do not do it. I am thy fellow servant. Adore God." Now, the adoration which the angel refused was not that of the adoration due to God. St. John knew he was only an angel. But at that time, God did not want devotion to the angels to be begun yet. And why is that? Because it was still a pagan world. And the devil was going around suggesting to people that this creature or that statue would be a god. And it wasn't until paganism was abolished in the Roman Empire that it was safe to begin the devotion to the angels. And today there's an awful lot of paganism, including that of pantheism. Everything's a god, or the worship of the earth, ecology and the green earth and the rest of it. There are always plenty of false gods. But the angels who worship the true one will assist us in order to get to heaven. Now, after the Roman Empire was converted, God sent his messengers, angels from heaven, to stir up devotion to the angels. St. Michael appeared in many places, in beautiful churches and monasteries were built in his honor. Tuesday's feast is for one that was built in Rome. There's also the beautiful Mont Saint-Michel on the coast of northern France, to mention only two. But these apparitions of the angels and these churches of brick and stone will do us no good unless we practice the devotion to the angels. The first step of angelic devotion is to ask for assistance. Please help me. You have to say in a humble way. Please remember this truth. Angels, including fallen angels, the humility of it. Angels come when they are called, unlike children who don't usually. Angels come when they are called, like dogs and some cats. Cats don't usually, but my cats always come when I call them. They come running. And I imagine they do that because they realize they're the cats of a bishop, and it behooves them to set a good example. They always come most eagerly. Do any of you remember the story of the guardian angel of St. John Bosco? Grigio is his name. He appeared as a dog, a big old growling black dog. Whenever the saint was in danger, the dog would appear, and then he would disappear. And more than once, when the Freemasons plotted and almost succeeded in murdering St. John Bosco, Grigio would be at his side. And one time he took a bite out of one of the assassins, and another time he went for the neck of the man who was trying to murder the saint. And of course they always gave up and they fled. Now, you will not necessarily be able to see, as John Bosco did, your guardian angel. But be sure of this, he is there. And that being the case, let us be careful to befriend the angels, because devotion to them, St. Alphonsus says it, is a sign of predestination. And that's what the second step is of a devotion to the angels. The first is to ask for their assistance. The second is to befriend them. St. Leo the Great says, make friends with the holy angels. It's a wonderful thought. They, the angels, so far above us, angels who keep the whole universe and all the planets in order, they want our friendship. Let us not deny it to them. They want to be our companions in our earthly exile. They are our champions against the malice and the rage of the demons. Before God, they serve as our advocates. They bring whatever good we've done or prayers we've said to God's throne. And one day, they wait for this, they will be our amiable companions in the bliss of heaven for all eternity. St. Bernard says that our duties to our angels are threefold, and the first of these is that of respect or reverence. The second, confidence. The third, gratitude. Respect. A child, I hope, would never commit a sin or do something wrong right in front of his mother or his father. Neither should we ever commit a sin, because can you think of a time when your guardian angel is not with you? Reverence him. Secondly, have confidence in him. Ask for his assistance. He will bestow it upon you. And third, when he does, show him your gratitude in return by loving him. In practical terms, how should we practice this devotion to our guardian angel? Do you say your morning prayers? If not, go back to saying them. The guardian angel prayer is not just for children. It's for all of us. Believe me, all of us need it. And when the guardian angel helps you, he saves you from slipping, or perhaps from slipping into sin, stop and say a prayer of thanks. I remember once, I used to go out in Sharonville by the old church and walk around fairly late at night and pray my rosary. And sometimes I'd be lost in my thoughts. And I remember once, late at night, I was crossing Main Street, and all of a sudden I was aware of the fact that there was this huge truck about that far from me. And I was saying my rosary. It was my guardian angel. The truck driver gave me a look, but I didn't mind, because the guardian angel made him stop. When he does that for you, and he does it for all of us, doesn't he? Stop and say a prayer of gratitude. But I think it is especially at Holy Mass, our Sunday Mass, that we can practice the devotion to the angels and be much better Catholics for it. When you come into church, you take the holy water. Ask the angel, your guardian, to purify you from sin. And then you see the altar and the tabernacle. Remember, the angels are here. Saint Mechtild said there were about 3,000 angels surrounding every tabernacle with the real presence. Then you genuflect, act of adoration. The angels are specialists for adoration. Ask them to help you. When Father comes out with the altar boys, think of the humility of the angels, because the angels, high as they are lower than priests, and they love to pray for priests and to serve them. When the priest, in his humility, bows low to confess his sins, he says to Blessed Michael the Archangel, among others, join him in that prayer. And remember, when you see Father at the prayers at the foot of the altar, always think a little bit about the agony in the garden. Our Lord's prayer, when he was so weakened by loss of blood and stress, he would have died had it not been for an angel. Invoke, it was either Raphael or Gabriel, invoke them both at this moment. Pretty soon it will be time at Mass for the Gloria in Excelsis Deo. That is the very hymn of the angels sung for the first time at Bethlehem. Sing it, pray it with them to honor the newborn King, Jesus in the host, who will soon be upon this altar. When we get to the offertory, remember that at High Mass, the priest says the prayer about Saint Michael, again, being at the right hand of the altar of incense. Ask him to take your prayers up to God like a fragrant incense. Almighty God himself warned our Saint Gertrude that she must pray especially devoutly at the preface and must join with the angels in the Sanctus, because we name the angels in the preface. It's another angelic moment, as is the elevation. Consider all the angels adoring God when the sacred host is lifted high. St. Teresa of Avila says, you should adore God on earth the same way that he is adored in heaven. For that, you need help, the angels. Then, shortly after the elevation, the priest prays that God would bid his angel to take this sacrifice, this victim, to the altar on high. Join your prayer with that one, and pretty soon it will be time for Holy Communion. Whether you come up to receive or out of humility, stay in the pew for a sacramental communion, ask the angel at this moment to help you to be focused, to be reverent, and to adore. I don't like to see children, and I've been seeing that more and more lately, children at the rail who are so very interested. Our Lord is about to come to them, and they're terribly interested in watching someone who's just received communion next door to them. Children, never look around at the communion rail. Don't look to the right or to the left. Look to your God who is coming to you. And as soon as you have received our Lord, none of this business of going back to the communion like this. We're not Novus Ordo. No, no. You swallow the sacred host at the communion rail. Then you fold your hands, you stand up straight, and you walk back with your eyes cast down. In other words, walk back to your pew like an angel. Oh, and remember that it just came to St. Gertrude once to offer up her communion in honor of the angels. And she said she was really surprised when she saw her angel radiantly happy and so grateful that she did that for him. She never thought that she had it in her power to make an angel happy. But we all do. You can make your angel happy, or you can make your angel sad. How grateful we should be for the help that is given us, diabolica vitare contagia, to avoid diabolic defilement, to withstand the force of his temptation, and at the same time to follow the way, that superhighway, smooth, swift, sure, and sweet, which leads us with the humble home to heaven. Follow your angel. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.